All right, get ready because today we're taking a deep dive into GAPDH. You might remember this from bio, but get this. This enzyme's way more than some boring metabolic thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We've got research papers, articles, all sorts of stuff, and it turns out GAPDH is like living a double life.
Yeah.
It keeps popping up in all these different areas like neurodegenerative diseases, cancer research, and we're going to figure out why.
So what's really fascinating about GAPDH is that it's absolutely essential for life.
Okay.
And it's found in almost every single organism you can think of, from bacteria to humans, and it plays a crucial role in how we get energy from glucose.
Yeah.
So this is the process known as glycolysis, and GAPDH is one of the major players in that whole process.
Okay, so it's this busy little enzyme keeping our cells powered up. But what makes it so unique? Why is GAPDH suddenly the star in so many different research areas?
Well, at the heart of GAPDH, there's this special amino acid. It's called cysteine.
Okay.
And specifically, it has what we call a catalytic cysteine, which is super sensitive to what's going on around it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so think of it like, a canary in a coal mine.
Okay,
It's
yeah.
always picking up signals from the cell, and then it adjusts what it's doing.
So it's not just like mindlessly working away in glycolysis, it's actually responding to the cell's needs.
Exactly.
That's pretty impressive for just one enzyme.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm still kind of curious about all this variety we see with GAPDH. You mentioned it's in everything from bacteria to humans. Does that mean it's basically the same across the board in every organism?
Well, that's where things get interesting. While its main job in glycolysis is pretty similar across species, the actual structure of GAPDH can be quite different.
Okay.
Like the number of genes that code for GAPDH, even the number of those cysteines within the enzyme itself, that can change depending on the organism.
Oh, so it's like different species have like customized their GAPDH.
Exactly, to fit their needs.
Okay, that makes sense. Can you give us like a couple of examples of how this actually plays out in like real life?
Absolutely. So let's look at E. coli, just a simple bacteria. It's only got one gene for GAPDH, and its enzyme has three cysteines.
Okay.
But now take yeast, which is a bit more complex.
All right.
Yeast has three genes for GAPDH, and each one has two cysteines.
Wow.
And then there's humans. We've got two GAPDH genes, one for our regular cells with three cysteines, and another one just for sperm cells with six cysteines.
Whoa, six cysteines. That's a lot of sensitivity to the environment.
It is.
So it seems like the more complex the organism, the more complex its GAPDH.
You got it.
Okay, that makes sense. But why all this focus on these cysteines? What makes them so important?
Well, these cysteines, especially the catalytic cysteine, they're like these little docking stations for what we call redox modifications.
Yeah.
So basically, changes in the cell's environment, like maybe the presence of reactive oxygen species, they can chemically modify these cysteines.
Gotcha.
It's like attaching a little sidecar to the enzyme, you know? And depending on what you attach, it can completely change how GAPDH behaves.
So instead of just one job in glycolysis, these modifications give GPDH like a whole new set of skills. It's
Yeah.
like it has a secret identity just waiting to be activated.
That's a great way to put it.
That's awesome. And these redox modifications, are they all pretty much the same or?
No, they're incredibly diverse. There's S-sulfonylation, S-glutathionylation, S-nitrosylation, S-sulfhydration, and so on.
Whoa, that's a mouthful.
I know, right?
So each one does something a little different.
Yeah. Each one has a unique effect on GAPDH. It can turn its activity on or off, or even give it completely new abilities.
Hold on, so a single enzyme can be like remodeled on the fly to do different things.
That's exactly what happens.
That's
It
incredible.
really is. GAPDH is so dynamic and adaptable, and these redox modifications are like little switches, constantly fine-tuning what it does.
Okay, my mind is officially blown. So we've got these reactive molecules in the cell attaching themselves to GAPDH's cysteines and changing how it acts. Can you give us some like concrete examples of what these modifications actually do? Like how do they change GAPDH's job?
Sure. So let's take S-glutathionylation, for instance. This modification can actually turn GAPDH into a chaperone protein.
Okay.
And chaperones, they're like helpers in the cell, making sure other proteins fold correctly and function properly.
Oh, instead of breaking down glucose, GAPDH is now like helping other proteins do their jobs.
That's exactly right. And that's
Wow.
just one tiny example.
Wow.
Each modification has its own unique effect, and we're only beginning to understand the full scope of what GAPDH can do.
This is getting more and more interesting. But, with all this multitasking, does GAPDH ever mess up? Are there downsides to it being so adaptable?
That's a great question. And it leads us right into the implications for human health. Because GAPDH is involved in so many crucial processes, if its activity gets messed up, it can have some serious consequences.
So we're talking about GAPDH's role in diseases, right?
Exactly. Researchers are finding links between GAPDH dysregulation and a whole bunch of conditions, from neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's to cancer and even cardiovascular disease.
Whoa. So this seemingly simple enzyme might actually hold clues to understanding and maybe even treating some of the toughest health problems we face. Can you give us some specific examples of like how GAPDH goes wrong in these diseases?
Okay, so let's start with Alzheimer's disease. Researchers have found that GAPDH can actually get tangled up with those amyloid plaques that are a hallmark of the disease.
Oh, wow.
So imagine like a busy intersection getting clogged up with traffic.
Okay.
That's kind of what's happening in the brain. And GAPDH is part of that mess, contributing to the damage of the neurons.
So in this case, GAPDH is kind of getting pulled away from its regular duties and getting caught up in the disease process. That's a little scary. But it also means that if we could untangle that mess, maybe we could protect the brain, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's one of the big reasons why researchers are so interested in GAPDH.
Yeah.
Because it's a potential target for treatment, and understanding how it plays into these diseases could lead to brand new ways to treat them.
That's incredible. What about cancer? How does GAPDH fit into that picture?
Well, cancer cells, they're kind of infamous for having this altered metabolism.
Right.
They tend to rely heavily on glycolysis for energy, even when there's plenty of oxygen around.
So they're like constantly in overdrive, guzzling down glucose to fuel their growth.
Exactly.
And since GAPDH is key in glycolysis, it becomes a part of cancer's like metabolic frenzy.
Exactly. That's why some researchers are looking into ways to actually target GAPDH in cancer cells, hoping to cut off their energy supply and slow their growth down.
That's a really interesting idea. But isn't messing with GAPDH in healthy cells risky? I mean, it's essential for our normal energy, right?
That's the challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Finding a way to target GAPDH just in the cancer cells while leaving the healthy ones alone. It's a really delicate balance. But if we can get it right, the payoff could be huge.
So it's not just about like finding any drug that binds to GAPDH. It's about finding one that acts like a smart bomb, just hitting the disease-causing parts of its activity.
You got it.
That's super cool. This is all so fascinating, but I want to make sure we're connecting all of this back to our listeners.
Sure.
We've talked a lot about the science, but what does it actually mean for someone who isn't a scientist? What are the practical things people should take away from this research?
Well, for starters, it shows how amazingly complex and adaptable our cells are. Even the most basic things, like how we get energy, are tied to these intricate signaling pathways and mechanisms that control everything.
So it's like a reminder that our bodies are constantly working to keep things in balance and respond to challenges.
Yeah.
And GAPDH is like a perfect example of how one molecule can be so crucial in all of that.
Exactly. And the fact that GAPDH is so tuned into its environment really emphasizes how important lifestyle choices are for staying healthy.
So like diet, exercise, stress management, these things can actually impact GAPDH's activity.
Absolutely. We're just beginning to really understand all the connections, but it's clear that our choices have a real impact at the molecular level.
That's a powerful message. It means we have more control over our health than we might think, but it also means that using GAPDH as a target for therapies has to be done very carefully, right?
Exactly. We have to be aware of potential side effects because messing with GAPDH's normal function could have unintended consequences.
Right. So it's like walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
You've got to be really precise.
Well, it sounds like there's still so much work to be done, but the potential benefits are huge. I mean, if we could actually use GAPDH's power for good, imagine what that can mean for treating diseases like Alzheimer's, cancer, and heart disease. Absolutely. And the research is moving at an incredible pace. New tools and technology are allowing us to look into the molecular world with so much more precision. We're getting a much deeper understanding of GAPDH's structure, how its modifications work, how it interacts with other things, and its role in both health and disease.
It's like proof of the power of scientific curiosity and just this constant pursuit of knowledge.
Exactly. And it's also a reminder that even the smallest parts of our cells can hold the key to huge breakthroughs.
Well, I think after all that, our listeners are pretty much GAPDH experts now. We've gone from its basic role in glycolysis to its surprising other jobs and its potential as a target for therapies. But before we let them go, I want to make sure they have some resources so they can keep exploring. Any suggestions for further reading or websites they should check out?
Of course. For folks who want to really dig into the scientific papers, I'd recommend starting with the research articles we've discussed today.
Right. Those will all be linked in the show notes, so definitely check those out. And for a more general overview of GAPDH and how it works, the NIH website has some great resources.
Yeah. And if you're interested in the very latest stuff happening in GAPDH research, a quick Google Scholar search will keep you updated.
Awesome suggestions. So armed with all this new knowledge, our listeners can now go out and tell everyone about GAPDH, the enzyme that's way more than meets the eye.
Exactly. It's a testament to how amazing the molecular world is and all the possibilities for scientific discovery.
Well, I think it's time to wrap up part one of this deep dive. We've definitely given our listeners a lot to think about, but I hope they've enjoyed the journey so far.
Me too. It's always great to share my passion for science with an audience that's so engaged.
And it's always great to learn from an expert like you. We'll be back soon with part two, where we'll explore even more fascinating aspects of GAPDH. Until then, stay curious.
Definitely. Welcome back.
I'm ready for more GAPDH.
Excellent. Last time we were talking about how disrupting GAPDH in healthy cells could be a problem.
Right.
It's a valid concern. And scientists are working on ways to target GAPDH just in the diseased cells.
Like weeding a garden without hurting the flowers.
Exactly. And that's what makes the research so interesting.
Yeah.
We're creating new tools and technology that allow us to look at this molecular world with such precision.
Okay.
For example, researchers are working on targeted drug delivery systems.
Wow.
They can carry GAPDH inhibitors directly to cancer cells.
Oh, cool.
And that minimizes damage to healthy tissues.
So instead of like a shotgun approach, it's more like a sniper?
Precisely. And it's not just about delivery.
Yeah.
We're also getting a much deeper understanding of GAPDH's structure.
Right.
And how all its different modifications actually affect how it works.
Go ahead.
This knowledge is essential for making drugs that can specifically target the parts of GAPDH that cause disease.
I see.
While leaving its important functions alone.
So it's like having a detailed map of the enzyme, and you can just pinpoint the exact spot to target.
That's a great way to think about it. And as we understand GAPDH better, the possibilities of treatment just keep growing. We're starting to see new drugs that target GAPDH in all sorts of different diseases.
Can you give some examples of what these drugs are going after and how they actually work?
Sure. In cancer research, there are drugs being developed that block GAPDH's activity in glycolysis.
Okay.
So this basically cuts off the fuel to those cancer cells, slowing down their growth and making them weaker against other treatments like chemo.
So it's like starving the cancer cells and giving a boost to the healthy ones.
You got it. And with neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's, researchers are looking at drugs that can actually stop GAPDH from getting tangled up with those amyloid plaques we talked about before.
So that would be like clearing that traffic jam in the brain so neurons can talk to each other again.
Precisely. And there are even drugs being developed that target GAPDH in heart disease.
Oh, wow.
These drugs are designed to prevent those harmful changes that can happen to GAPDH when glucose levels are high. This helps protect blood vessels from damage.
So it's like a multi-pronged attack going after GAPDH in different ways to tackle all these health problems.
Exactly. And it's all thanks to the incredible progress being made in understanding this enzyme.
I'm just amazed that research into GAPDH is leading to so many different treatment approaches.
Right.
It's a testament to how powerful basic science is and how those fundamental discoveries can lead to real-world solutions, even if it's not obvious at first.
I completely agree. It's a reminder that we need to keep investing in basic research, even if we don't know what it will lead to right away.
Right. Sometimes the biggest breakthroughs come from the most unexpected places.
Exactly. And who knows what other secrets GAPDH is hiding. As we keep learning about all the different roles it plays in our cells, we're going to discover even more ways to use it for treatment and pave the way for brand new therapies.
That's really exciting. But before we get ahead of ourselves, I want to bring it back to our listeners again.
Of course.
We've been talking a lot about the science. But what does this all mean for everyday people? What are the key things they should take away from all this research?
Well, one big takeaway is that it's so important to take care of our health.
Yeah.
We've seen how sensitive GAPDH is to its environment. And that means the choices we make can have a direct impact on how it works.
So like eating healthy, getting exercise, managing stress.
All of that, yeah. It can have a positive effect on our cellular health.
Okay.
Including GAPDH.
So we can't control everything that happens inside us.
Right.
But we can definitely take steps to make sure our cells have the best environment to thrive in.
Absolutely.
It's like we're the gardeners taking care of the soil for ourselves.
Exactly. And another key takeaway is that science is always changing.
Right.
What we know about GAPDH today is just a snapshot. As research keeps going, we'll learn even more about this incredible enzyme and how it can help improve people's lives.
So we've got to stay curious and keep learning.
Exactly. And never underestimate the power of just one tiny molecule.
Well, I think by now our listeners have a really solid understanding of what GAPDH does in both health and disease. We've looked at all these other jobs it has, how it's linked to different diseases, and the amazing potential it has for new treatments. But before we wrap up this whole deep dive, I have one final question.
All right.
We've talked about GAPDH's role in making energy, sending signals within cells, and even controlling gene expression.
Right.
But with all that it does, and being in practically every cell in our bodies, is there anything GAPDH doesn't do?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And to be honest, we're still figuring out all the things it does.
Wow.
It's like this enzyme has an endless list of skills.
So even after all this research, GAPDH still has some secrets.
Absolutely. And that's what makes it so fascinating. It reminds us that there's always more to learn about the molecular world, and it's full of amazing things waiting to be discovered.
Well, I think that's a perfect note to end on. We've explored so much about GAPDH, from its basic role in glycolysis to the surprising other jobs and its potential for changing how we treat diseases. We've covered a ton, but I feel like this is only the beginning of our GAPDH adventures.
I agree. There's so much more to come.
Stay tuned for part three, where we'll get into some of the newest discoveries about GAPDH and discuss what it could mean for the future of medicine.
It's going to be exciting.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We're wrapping up our look at GAPDH, and I'm curious, what other surprises does this enzyme have for us?
Well, you know, we've talked about its roles in energy production, cell signaling, even gene expression.
Yeah.
But recent research suggests GAPDH might be even more multi-talented than we realized.
Okay, now you've really got me intrigued. What else is this enzyme doing?
One area that's super interesting is GAPDH's potential role in autophagy.
Autophagy, okay. Remind me what that is again.
Sure, autophagy is basically like the cell's recycling system.
Yep.
It's how cells break down and reuse old or damaged parts, keeping things running smoothly.
Oh, so it's like the cell's own garbage disposal and recycling center.
Exactly.
W-L.
And recent studies suggest that GAPDH might actually be involved in this process.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. But how does an enzyme that's usually involved in energy production get involved in cellular recycling?
Well, remember those redox modifications we talked about?
Yeah.
Turns out certain modifications can make GAPDH interact with key proteins that are involved in autophagy.
So it's like GAPDH is putting on its recycling hat now.
Precisely. And this link to autophagy is opening up all sorts of new research, especially when we're talking about aging and diseases.
Right. I can see why that would be a big deal. Autophagy is essential for cells to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And we know that as we get older, this process doesn't work as well.
Exactly. And when autophagy isn't working properly, it's been linked to lots of age-related diseases, like neurodegenerative disorders and even cancer.
So if we could find a way to improve autophagy, maybe by using GAPDH as a target, could we slow down aging or prevent some of these diseases?
That's the big question, right? And there's growing evidence that supports that idea.
Really?
Yeah, some studies have shown that activating GAPDH by using specific modifications can actually boost autophagy and protect cells from damage.
That's incredible. It's like we're finding ways to use the cell's own repair mechanisms to our advantage.
Exactly. And the potential benefits for human health are huge.
Yeah.
Imagine if we could make our cells better at recycling and renewing themselves.
Wow.
It could totally change how we approach aging and disease.
It's like finding the fountain of youth at the cellular level.
Exactly. And GAPDH might be the key.
My mind is officially blown. This one enzyme is just full of surprises.
It's true. It's hard to believe one molecule can have such a huge impact on so many different things in our cells.
It really shows how beautiful and complex the molecular world is.
Absolutely. And it reminds us that we're only just beginning to understand what GAPDH can do. I'm sure as research continues, we'll uncover even more surprises and maybe even discover things that could change people's lives.
I'm excited to see what the future holds for GAPDH research. It's clear that this enzyme has a lot more to teach us.
I agree. And I think we'll be hearing about GAPDH a lot more in the years to come.
Well, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive. We've come a long way from GAPDH's simple role in glycolysis to these other jobs it has and how it might be used for new treatments. It's been an incredible journey, and thank you for being such a great guide.
It's been my pleasure. I love sharing my passion for science. Hopefully our listeners have enjoyed it too.
I'm sure they have. And to all our listeners out there, we hope this deep dive has made you curious and inspired you to learn more about the amazing world of molecular biology.
Remember, the more we know about how our cells work, the better choices we can make for our health.
So stay curious, keep learning, and never underestimate the power of even the tiniest molecules. This has been The Deep Dive. Thanks for listening.